We're back to the Ten Commandments. We're on number four, the Sabbath. And it's very interesting. Before God even talks about the kinds of things he prohibits us from doing to one another, he focuses in on this issue of Sabbath. And I want to say that, you know, it is a prohibition. It can be taken as that prohibition. Remember, we're looking at the Ten Commandments as, you know, God says, thou shalt not, or thou shalt not, or thou shalt not. But understanding that those are kind of our offense, a kind of a wall around the good things that God is trying to bring about. And so we compare it to like a garden. There are things we keep out of our gardens so that we can grow the good things we want to see happen. And so God is growing an understanding of himself. He is inviting people to an intimate relationship with himself that is real, that is personal. And he's creating community in which there will be an understanding of his divine work through the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so these are all essential, important things. And he uses these commands to prohibit things that might interfere with the good things that he's trying to bring about. And so we come to this one that is specifically not so much about God, about his dignity or his glory, but about us. And it is this issue of the Sabbath. And so in what we've been doing, we've kind of been restating the commandments, and you can see there, instead of saying, thou shalt not work on the Sabbath, we see here God is saying, you shall experience the gift of God's rest. You shall experience the gift of the rest of God, the God's rest that he wants to give you. We see that in the scriptures when Jesus addresses this question in the New Testament. Because there's lots of ways we can mess up the Sabbath. And we often do. How many of you have messed up the Sabbath once or twice in your life? You have not experienced that divine rest that God wants you to have. We all have. And Jesus talks about this. There's an account where he is traveling through a community, and remember, these are agrarian communities, and a lot of agriculture in them. So we see an event that probably is a lot more common than we would understand today. And here's the scripture from Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. I want to pause there, because later on in the commands of God, in the 616, one of the things that the Israelites are commanded to do is, as they harvest their grain, they're to leave the stubble and leave anything that falls on the ground. That, for that very reason, so that when people travel through, they can get the leftovers and gather them up for themselves to feed themselves. So the disciples are actually benefiting from a later commandment we study in the book of Exodus, and especially in Leviticus. But as the Pharisees, remember those religious lay people that are very devoted to God's law, they see this, the Pharisees are saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath, by picking this grain? You know, how many of you, have, as a little kid, you see, you've been out in a field where the grass has gone to seed? How many of you have ever done that? And you ever taken your fingers and just run along and the seeds kind of pop off? How many of you have done that in your lifetime? All of us outdoor kids, you know, when we were allowed to play outside. Yeah, so that's kind of the picture of what they're doing. And the Pharisees are drawing an equivalency of saying that this is the equivalent of harvesting grain. Now, that they're working by pulling those grains off the heads of the stalks, they're harvesting the grain. And so therefore they're working on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So this is the word of God for the people of God. Let's say together, thanks be to God. So when we come to the Sabbath issue, the problem with the Sabbath is not in God's gift of a Sabbath to us, That's not the problem. The problem is man's enforcement of the Sabbath. So that's the primary issue at stake in Jesus' ministry. I'll never forget when I was in high school, when we lived down on the military base down in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and I would go off base to work at a little pizza restaurant. Before I got my job at Domino's, I worked for a place called Panera's Pizza. Panera's Pizza. I don't know, have you ever, I don't know if it was up here much, it was a chain, and it was, by the time I was working in high school, it had kind of faded in its glory and kind of lost market to Pizza Hut and other things, but it was still around. I went into work, and I was like, you know, just all around, you did whatever. I was not a server, I was not a waitress. And we were very short-staffed. We didn't get a lot of business anyway. It was already dying. Frankly, I think the mob used it to launder money, but that's a whole other story. You know, we always had plenty of pizza out and no customers. I don't know how that works in business, but I was a busboy, dish cleaner. You know, wash out my hands, go make pizzas. You know, anything that needed doing except kind of going out to the table. So I remember one day, it was a Sunday. I was scheduled to work, I went in, I went to church with my family, went in at noon. You know, afterwards, actually my parents dropped me off on the way home from church. And I got my uniform, you know, dressed in, and then I was out bussing tables. There was a table of about eight, you know, older people, though they were probably younger than I am now, you know, back then, when you're, 16, 17, you know, 40-year-olds look ancient, you know. But I was there, and we went, and there was a kind of an older woman, you know, kind of a matriarchal figure there. And as I went to a nearby table and started loading the dishes in my bus pan, you know, it was like a little tub, a little rubber tub, and I heard this woman, and it just made that, kind of. And I looked over, and she was looking and just glaring daggers at me. And I kind of shuffled off, and I'm like, what in the world? And so I went back in the kitchen, emptied my tray out with the dish thing, and went back to get the rest of them. And I went to the table, and so finally you could tell she was so disgusted, she couldn't hold it back. And she goes, I just can't believe you're working on Sunday. And this is where I kind of thought we were getting money from somewhere other than what we were doing, because I didn't lose my job. I turned to her and said, lady, if you weren't here, I wouldn't be working. And walked back in the kitchen. That was also the same place that I got mono, was out of work for 5 weeks, and they still paid me a full salary. So I'm thinking something was going on there, right, Bob? Something was happening there. Anyway, that's a whole other story. You see, when we talk about enforcement of the Sabbath, that's what we're talking about, right? People using a law of God or a rule of God to get one up on others, to make them feel bad, or anything like that. And so there's some dangers there. You know, the problem is not that God has offered a Sabbath. It's that we, in using God's law, we have used it to judge, to hurt, to hurt one. And that's really what Jesus is addressing. You know, all of the laws, not just the law of the Sabbath, is given as a gift from God. Did he have to give us the Ten Commandments? Yes or no? No. Does the Ten Commandments give him something that he wouldn't already have if he didn't give them? No. Him giving the Ten Commandments takes nothing away from him and adds nothing to God. The Ten Commandments are for us to give us a blessing. We don't always recognize the blessing. We don't always recognize the gift that the commandments are. But in the fourth commandment, it's fully embodied. The seventh day, God rested. How many of you think he took a nap on the seventh day? You think God was up there, oh man, you know, just, oh my, that was some work. I got to get off my feet. You know, that is not, we all know that's not what the scriptures is telling us by sharing that with us and making that declaration in the creation accounts. But there is a problem with the Sabbath, because if it is truly a gift, if I reject the gift, I am in some ways rejecting the giver. Isn't that true? In rejecting the gift, I'm sometimes rejecting the giver. That's why some of us We get those gifts at birthdays or Christmas, and we open them, we're like, oh, thank you. You know, like, this is wonderful. And then we, you know, they leave and we put it somewhere, but when they come to visit, we bring it out and put it out where they can see it, right? Because we don't want to even imply in any way that we don't value them or love them or appreciate their willingness to give us a gift, right? You know, there are gifts I received as a young man, especially when I was going out in the world on my own for the first time, and I had that first church as a student pastor, two churches really, and you know, my dad would always show up and he'd have something for me. And I remember one time he gave me this little case, and it was this, you know, it was pretty heavy, and it was wrapped up. He said, hey, I just thought you ought to have this. And I'm like holding it, you know, and I'm like, okay. And I open it up, and it's a big like metal thing, and it kind of turns on one side, and at the end it has kind of it looks like a giant ratchet, right? But thicker, right? And the handle. And I looked at it, and you could undo one part of the handle and you could twist the other. How many of you know what I'm talking about now? Did anybody make a guess? It's a kind of wrench. How many of you know? It's a torque wrench. Yeah, it had a torque wrench. Now, when I worked on cars with my dad, he had a torque wrench, and he was the one that did it. And he did it because primarily one time we were working on a car, and he put so much torque with a regular wrench that he twisted the head bolt right off of our car. And so he realized we needed a torque wrench. Some of you guys know what that means. And so he gave me this thing, but I really didn't know how to use it. And I'm like, okay, thanks, Dad. But later on, in that same car that he twisted the head bolt off, I had the same problem with it. The head gasket was leaking, and I had to get into it on my own with a buddy's help, and I had to do that. And a thing I had never touched and never did, I was looking through the manual, the Haynes manual, and trying to look at what the specifications were on that thing. Some of this doesn't matter to anybody. It's too much detail here. But I remember, oh, that's what that thing's for. And I went and grabbed it, and I set it up, and I was able to do and fix my car. I was thankful in that moment. I wasn't near as thankful when I went to Sears and looked at the Craftsman torque wrench that I had and saw how much it cost on the shelf. And then I really appreciated the gift that my dad gave me, but you know, the gift that God gave me through him. Sometimes we don't appreciate gifts, right, church? Amen? We don't really appreciate what we have. And the Sabbath is a gift to you. And I want to say that the Sabbath is not a luxury for humanity, but a necessity. The God who made us knows what's good for us. Would everybody say okay, amen? We all agree? The God who made you knows what's good for you. Is that true? Yes or no? It's true. So if the God who made you, who put you together, says you need to rest one day out of seven, do you think he knows what he's talking about? You need to lay work aside. Give yourself permission. And he gives us permission in one of the most powerful ways that anybody can give us permission. And I want to talk about that. We'll get that in a minute. But one of the ways we abuse it is we receive this gift, and there's two different types of libertine abuse, I'll call it, and legalistic abuse of the Sabbath. Each of those abuses damage your ability to experience this gift of God. If you are a person who thinks about the Sabbath in a way of, there's a, you know, I'm worried about how people are violating it, that is a legalistic use. It is that woman in that restaurant who by her very presence was causing me to work, right? And yet blaming me for the work and the act of being willing to serve her and work for her, right? That's legalistic and that's abusive. Would we all agree? I remember in the early church, the same two churches, I was on my own, and you know, you don't have a lot of wisdom, and sometimes you don't know what battles are worth fighting. And this wasn't, I didn't even know this was a battle. The parsonage was right next to the church, and the yard in my parsonage, the yard behind the parsonage was a square. It was about from this, if this was one corner, it was about back to John, right? That's how big my yard was behind the parsonage, right? And so I had this yard, and you know, it would get, you know, a little, I mean, because number one, it was back behind the parsonage and nobody went back there. It was right by the railroad tracks. It was really kind of the right of way from the railroad to my back house. I had about I don't know, how many feet is that, 25 feet? You know, that's where the train was behind my house. And, you know, and it got long, you know, and one of the guys said, you know, Pastor, your yard's getting long. I'm like, all right, you know. So that Sunday, he mentioned it to me in church, so the Sunday I kind of looked at him like, yeah, might as well. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the seed or anything, but I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just go do that. So I grabbed the mower out, you know, off the back porch. I rolled it out, you know, filled it up. And did the mower. I mean, I literally just went, you know, on a little loop, and I was done in like 17 minutes, I think, at the most. I think is what it took to mow that little patch of grass. You know what happened the next Sunday? Pastor, some woman came up. How could you do that? What kind of man of God are you? Violating the Sabbath. I drove past your house. Now, I don't know how she saw it because I was buried back behind the house and the church. But she kind of had a long, she like, anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, and she was castigating me for violating the Sabbath. And I looked at her. Now, this was when I was dumb and stupid. And I still may put my foot in my mouth. But I said, let me get this straight. I'm working on the Sabbath, right? She goes, that's right. And I said, you still pay me, right? Yeah. What do you pay me for? You know? And we're standing in church, right? On Sunday morning. I said, you pay me to do this, right? She goes, yeah, see the story about. You know, now, there's no equivalency between this, which of course is part of my service, but it's also a calling, it's a vocation, it's different. Don't get me wrong, I'm not punching a clock on Sunday morning because there's so much, you know, worshiping God is a joy and a privilege. So don't go down that path too far. But legalistic abuse is strong. But there's another abuse that I think probably more of us in this day and age are guilty of, and that is libertine abuse. Treating the Sabbath as if it doesn't matter really at all. It's an option. It's a choice. It doesn't really matter when it does. God didn't do what he did because it didn't matter. God didn't say what he said because it doesn't matter. He didn't put this above murder in his commandments because the Sabbath doesn't matter. It does. And we're not going to go down the legalistic path of when is the Sabbath, because when these words were written and what Jesus was referring to was the Sabbath of the Jews, which starts at sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. That was the Sabbath that Jesus is talking about. But the earliest Christians, matter of fact, the very disciples that are surrounding Christ began to worship, shifted all their tradition and all their system of worship to the first day of the week because of what we're going to celebrate in two Sundays. That's how important it was that of all the days, we're going to take not the last day of the week, but the first day to offer in homage to him and to rest in the Lord, which is our strength. So to get legalistic and say when, where, who, what, why, that's not the purpose. And that's why Jesus says it's a gift. And so the reason this is a command is so that you as a follower of God have full permission of the creator of the universe to tell people no when they ask you to work. Now, how's that work with your employment? I don't know. But I want to say that you have the permission to seek patterns of life, patterns of behavior, that where you can find appropriate rest. And you do not have to ask permission, and you do not have to make excuses for wanting that for yourself, because it is something that God wants for you. Does that mean you're bad because you are employed in a way that you can't? You can't observe that in the same way. Of course not. That's what Jesus was saying. This is a gift for you. If I give you a gift, right, I have it all wrapped up, and it's Christmas time, and I say, you know, I was thinking about you, and, you know, I was out, and, you know, this year, and I ran across this thing, And I think this is something not only that you would enjoy, but something that would be beneficial and helpful for you. And I've taken the time to make sure you have this. And I give it to you, right? Now, if you take that and you leave it wrapped and you place it on a shelf somewhere and you never open it, you never look at it, you never fully participate in it, who does that wrong? Well, I mean, in some ways it could be hurtful to me. It would certainly communicate to me a little more of what you think of me, right? But the true person that is robbed is who? You. Isn't that true? Because you would not have the benefit of that gift. You know, if I'd taken that wrench of Dad's and just thrown it in a corner or let it get broken and didn't put it away, you know, I'd be guilty of that. Because now here's something I need, and I don't have it. God says there's something you need for your soul, for your life, for your body, for your health, for your mental, you know, for your mental state, and that is a good rest. 6 days, you know, work it out. Do what you have to do. But find a way to rest. Find a way to rest. And God is saying, not only you have my permission, you have my command to make sure that can happen in your life. You have my command. Isn't that great that you have your Creator's permission to pursue this and seek this? So that means if somebody comes up to you and says, how come you're not? You say, because I'm not. Because I'm resting today. You know, my pattern, because there's a lot that goes into this day of the week for me and anyone that has followed this calling, I tend to lean on Fridays, you know, as a day of rest for me, a day to enjoy life. And really, that's what God is inviting you to have. You work so that you can have a life. God wants you to have that life. Do you hear me, church? He wants you to enjoy that life. All the things you work for, you can put that work away to enjoy them on one day a week. Not only enjoy them, but enjoy Him. It's hard, we know, to keep our spiritual disciplines going when the busyness of life surrounds us. It's why the church has met together on the day of rest. It's why the Jews met together in the synagogue on the day of rest. It's why the day of rest has always been an opportunity to put the normal things aside and be different. And that's what holiness means. Being different than the world. Many of us remember the days when Sundays, you know, most businesses were closed on Sundays. Many of us do. But some of you never had that experience. Let me tell you, it was wonderful. We didn't realize it then because we were inconvenienced by a lot of it. Like, man, I just need this and now I gotta wait till Monday. But boy, having that day, not only you get permission, but you had restrictions that protected your rest for you. But now we're in a society where we have to protect our rest for ourselves. Do you protect your rest, church? Do you live the life you work for at least one day a week? Do you enjoy the people you work with at least one day a week you work for? God wants you to have that. Please don't throw it away. The biggest promise of the rest is the eternal rest in His heavenly kingdom. And that's why this kind of ties in with communion a little bit here. And that is, part of this is, of course, a celebration of God's sacrifice. But the other part is the promise of our reunion with Him at His heavenly table. So we come together in grace, acknowledging who we are before His throne. But we do it to honor Him and to glorify Him. So let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You for a Sabbath. Help us to truly enjoy it. And we pray that You pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and will feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.